Luke chapter 11, verse 27 through 36. This is the reading of God's Word. While Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." As the crowds were increasing, he began to say, This generation is a wicked generation. It seeks for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of South will rise up with the men of this generation at the judgment and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it away in a cellar nor under a basket, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. The eye of the lamp of your body, eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body also is full of light, but when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Then watch out that the light in you is not darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light, with no dark part in it, it will be wholly illumined, as when the lamp illumines you with its rays. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so that your word, not only we understand what we hear, but we believe and we obey. Oh Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and that Jesus Christ will be exalted. Receive all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From chapter 11, verse 24, we see the people who are against Jesus Christ and who are scattering instead of gathering with Jesus Christ. And from verses 24 through 26, which we saw last time, we saw the people who are living a morally upright life according to the standard of this world, but actually apart from Jesus Christ. They live the highest level of moral life according to this world, but ultimately, they do not believe in Jesus Christ. Thus, they are led to the eternal destruction. Well, let us continue then. We'll start from verse 27 today. Luke chapter 11, verse 27 through 28. While Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Well, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice to Jesus. She said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." Well, you could understand what he's saying. Blessed is the mother of Jesus Christ. Well, she is blessed because she has an excellent son like Jesus Christ. Thus, she is saying that Jesus Christ is excellent and honorable. Well, Jesus corrects her. Verses 28, on the contrary, Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. This reminds us of what God has said to us through Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Why? Because heaven has been accomplished, and the world is passing away. So, now on, Paul says, we recognize no one according to the flesh, meaning no one according to the standard of this world. Because you do not belong to this world anymore. You know, this world says so many things about you. Whether you are successful, whether you're a failure, whether you are living a meaningful life, or you are just wasting your life like a bum. But Paul says, we're not going to listen to that anymore. Because we recognize all of you, according to what Jesus Christ has done, what he has accomplished for us. According to what Jesus Christ has done, you are God's son. You know, even in this world, when you say, hey, I'm a son of president, they're going to automatically think you're very special. And they will treat you special because your relationship to that person that you are related to. But that's according to this world. Now, according to what Christ has done and what he has accomplished, you are the citizens of God's kingdom, and you are God's sons. Actually, you are God's wife. And yet, Christians, they don't think in those terms, and they even be embarrassed to mention it like that. You don't see Christians going out and meeting people. And when they shake their hands and say, I'm a son of God. They failed to mention that. I'm talking about Christians. But if you are a son of President of the United States of America, I don't think you're going to fail to mention that. Because you want that special treatment. Which shows that what Christ has done, what he has accomplished, doesn't mean anything to you. It just means so little. So, like this woman, understanding that Jesus Christ is very excellent and he's honorable, so he praises his mother. And this is how we do in this world. You are special because you're related to this person, or you're his son, or you're his daughter, or whatever. But Jesus says, no. On the contrary, you're blessed because you obey God. And only way that we are able to obey God is in Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ is accomplishing the kingdom of God in the book of Luke. Which means that this world and all the patterns of this world are passing away. Luke chapter 8 verse 21, but he answered and said to them, my mother and my brother are those who hear the word of God and do it. Do you remember the incident when Jesus' brother and sister and mother came to see Jesus? But without even acknowledging them, Jesus says, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And who is my sister? It's those who obey the word of God. You might even say, Jesus is very rude. How can he do that when his physical mother came to see him? He ignores her and says, who is my mother? Well, those who obey God's word. See, you and I, we are not blessed because we are someone's mother or someone's son. That's how the world thinks. If you're a son of a very rich man, somehow you are blessed. That's how the world thinks of you. But we're Christians. We don't think like the world. That's the problem. See, Christians start thinking like the world. Then there's no difference between Christians and the people who belong to this world. We are blessed because of Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's why it's so hard for me to have pity on Christians. Because I know who they are. And I know how rich they are in heaven forever. Yes, sometimes we go through so much hardship and so much problems. And yet, if you ask me to have pity on you, I can't. Because I know who you are in Christ. And you are far more blessed than the richest person in this world who is not a Christian. And how could I have pity on you? When you are Son of God. And God Himself and His kingdom is yours forever. See, we're blessed because of Jesus Christ and Him alone. And as a blessed people, we have to obey God. And praising Jesus or respecting Jesus according to this world, is even that is useless. There are people who do not believe in Christ and yet they will respect Jesus. And they will even praise Him. And how are we going to think about those people? This is what Jesus has said. You have to remember, if you are not with me, then you are against me. Oh, they say, oh, I'm not with Christ, but oh, I think he's a wonderful person. I'm not against him. But do not listen to what they say. Listen to what the Bible says. Bible says, Jesus says, if you are not with me, then you are against me. You have to judge things according to the word, not according to what the world says you must judge. Do not listen to the world. But we've been listening to the world ever since we grew up as a young kid all the way to become an adult. You are saturated with what the world says. Stop listening to it. Listen to what the Bible says. I do my best to live like this, but obviously I always fail. But this is why when I talk to people out there, you know, they don't like me too much because I listen to them, but I don't really believe what they say. I believe what the Bible says. Just like what I say, if they say, oh yeah, I'm not against Christ. So do I trust him in that? I said, no, I don't trust him. He is against Christ because the Bible says he is. I don't care how many times he tells me he's not. I go by what the Bible says. This is why many people out there, they don't like me. But what can I do as a Christian? Do I follow what the Bible says or what? And my ultimate purpose in this world is not to be liked by the world. It really doesn't matter to me whether the world likes me or not. But here's this woman praising Jesus. Very respectable. And yet, if you do not believe Jesus, you are against him. And we are not to judge people according to worldly relationships. You know, some people, because they say, oh yeah, my mom and my dad is Christian. So what? That's not how you go to heaven. You have to believe Jesus. Really doesn't matter what your mom or what your father has believed. You have to believe. You know, there's a saying in Korean that just because you are born from Christian mom and Christian dad, somehow even before you're born, you're Christian. Bible doesn't allow that. There's no such a thing. You have to believe. See, even praising Jesus or respecting Jesus according to this world is useless. Ultimately, they are against Jesus and they are scattering instead of gathering with Christ. Unless they believe and by faith they obey God's word. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, Jesus says, and do not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do what I say? Jesus says. So, what's the whole point of calling Jesus Lord, Lord, and you have no intention of obeying him? First John chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Do you understand what Jesus has said as we see these verses after it? If you are not with me, you are against me. If you don't gather with me, you are actually scattering. There is no neutral ground when it comes to Christianity. You cannot just say, Lord, Lord, and you come to church and you act like, you know, true Christian, and yet you don't obey what he says. Of course, nobody obeys perfectly. We all sin. But when we sin, we repent. But there's this desire in us. We want to obey, but we fail. But we repent. We try again. We fail. We repent. Try again. But it's never flat out just don't have no desire whatsoever to obey God. Don't you want to find out what God wants? Do you go home and read all this so that you will know what He wants so that you could obey Him? Or just obeying Him has just, it's not even entered your mind. So you don't even find out what He wants, what He says. Brothers and sisters, first you must believe you are with Christ. You are not against Him. Meaning, you're not neutral about Him, but that you are with Him. Luke chapter 11, verse 29 through 30. As the crowds were increasing, He began to say, "This generation is a wicked generation. It seeks for a sign, yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation." Now, when Jesus talks about this generation, He's not just talking about people who were used to live 2,000 years ago. Ever since Jesus' resurrection, all the way to Jesus' coming back again, it's the same generation. We are all included in it. And this wicked generation, they want sign. They seek a sign. But Jesus says, no sign will be given but the sign of Jonah. Now, sign itself is not bad, because even that sign is given by God. But the sinful people, they seek for a sign just to test God. Now, how many signs did Jesus already show to them? Just in book of Luke, all the way to chapter 11, we read so many times that Jesus showed signs that proves clearly that He is the Son of God, that He is the Messiah. And yet, they were never satisfied. Even with so many signs up to this point, and He will continue to show many signs, even after chapter 11. But they do not believe. But they continue to seek signs. Jesus says, yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah. Matthew has the same event. And there, Jesus actually explained to us what the sign of Jonah really is. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So what is sign of Jonah? It points to his death. Jesus' death on the cross. And that is the only sign. And if you do not believe Jesus by what He did on that cross for you, it really doesn't matter how many other signs that God shows you, you will not believe. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. "For indeed Jews ask for signs, and the Greeks search for wisdom." See, back then, it was only Jews and Gentiles. But Jews, meaning religious people, they want signs. And Gentiles, Greek, very scientific people, they want wisdom. And today, it's the same thing. These scientific people out there, non-believers who understand, you know, they're so scholarly, they want the knowledge. They want the wisdom. And the religious people out there, they want the sign. They want to see all these miracles. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, but we preach, see, these people want sign and they want wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. We preach the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Jews, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. See, if you're so scientifically oriented, you want wisdom of this world, then the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is a foolishness. What do you mean? God dying for us. Only fool could come up with that kind of stuff. That's why world, these really smart people, they will never believe God. They're too smart to believe God, who is portrayed in the Bible. Not just God that they could invent. No, the Bible, God of the Bible, they will reject because it's foolishness. And if you want signs, these religious people, then it becomes, the cross becomes stumbling block. Why? Because religious people, they want miracles. Why? Because miracles will enhance their lives in this world. It's something that is, they need, they feel, to have a better life in this world. But if you give them the cross, what does the cross say? Well, it's suffering. Oh, I don't want that. It becomes stumbling block for them. Because it speaks of suffering and death. Why do they come to church in the first place? To suffer? No. They come to church for better life, healthier life, and here's church giving them the cross, the suffering. Thus, it becomes stumbling block for them. But that's the only thing that we have to give. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 8, verse 11. The Pharisees came out and began to argue with Jesus, seeking from Jesus a sign from heaven to test him. The sign that the Pharisees wanted, well, it was a worldly sign. They wanted Jesus to set up a worldly kingdom to dominate the world and to live a prosperous life. They are saying to Jesus, if you are the Messiah, then show us that the messianic kingdom has come. But their understanding of messianic kingdom was wrong. They believed that the Messiah would come and establish a worldly kingdom that they are able to see and touch. And many of today's churchgoers, they want the same thing. They want this world. But there is no such sign. And the kingdom that Jesus is establishing is not a worldly kingdom. It's the heavenly kingdom. John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ himself is the only sign. God himself has come and stands in front of them, but they do not believe. God himself has come and reveals himself perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ, but they do not believe. God himself has come and witnesses to everyone that he is God's son and he is the Messiah who was promised from the Old Testament, but they do not believe. Now the whole Bible is witnessing to you and me. All the miracles of the Bible are witnessing to you and me. The Holy Spirit through his word is witnessing to you and me. The Holy Spirit witnesses to us through the perfect word of God. There is no need for more miracles to happen. His word is perfect. No need for more signs. And yet even today's Christians, they keep on seeking for signs. Those who do not believe but to test, seek more signs. Those who say that they will believe when they see more signs, they are all against God and they scatter. Verse 31 and 32, the queen of south will rise up with the men of this generation at the judgment and condemn them. Because she, the queen, came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The man of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and condemned it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. So we have these two stories from the Old Testament. Now, the queen of south, we meet this queen, she's called Queen of Sheba, in 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 1 through 13 and 2 Chronicles chapter 9 verse 1 through 12. When she heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came a long way to see him. Jesus is saying this, that this queen will rise up with the men of this generation at the judgment and condemn them. What Jesus is saying is that even that queen came to see Solomon when she heard about his wisdom. And she actually finally, after meeting Solomon, she actually praised God. But the people of this generation, even when someone who is greater than Solomon finally came and speaks the perfect word of God's wisdom, but they do not believe nor receive him, Jesus Christ. The queen of Sheba, she was a Gentile. And Jesus is in fact saying that a Gentile will condemn the Jews. You know, this is shocking to the Jews to hear. Because Jews think that they are the people of God, and here's Gentile condemning them. Like we saw before, all the worldly divisions are passing away. Verse 32, the men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it. You know, when you go back to the Old Testament, read the book of Jonah, you know, this preaching of Jonah, you know, Jonah went to Nineveh and preached. And now Nineveh is a Gentile country. It's a non-believers country at the time. You know, this preaching of Jonah, it was a very, very simple message. Jonah chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Then Jonah began to go through the city one day's walk. And he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. What Jonah was saying is judgment is coming. After 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. That's all he said. And guess what? Verse 5, then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth, meaning they were repenting from the greatest to the least of them. After 40 days, the Nineveh will be overthrown. At that message, the people of Nineveh believed in God and repented of their sins. When we read the book of Jonah, even their king called his people to fast and repent of their sins. Jesus is saying that those people of Nineveh will condemn this generation. Even the Gentiles repented of their sins when they heard the preaching of Jonah. But the people of this generation, even when someone greater than Jonah, Jesus Christ, God himself has come and preaching to them directly, but they refuse to accept the message and they refuse to believe. That's the point. Now, if you reject Jesus, then it's the final. The Messiah has come. During the church age, God reveals himself perfectly in Jesus Christ. And if anyone rejects Jesus, that is the final. There is no more excuses allowed. And that's the whole point that Jesus is making. God has come to you, and if you reject me, Jesus is saying, then it's the final. And our passage ends with this. No one, chapter 11, verse 32, no one after lighting a lamp puts it away in a cellar, nor under a basket, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. Now, Jesus is warning all of us from verse 33. If you want to be those who are with Christ and gathering with him, you must believe in Jesus Christ and his word. And he gives this example. It is foolishness to hide a lamp after you light it. Why would anybody light a lamp and hide it? You light the lamp so that the people in the darkness will see the light. Now this lamp, the light, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And his word is also the light. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word, God's word, is a lamp to my feet and light to my path. Jesus comes and preaches his word. He shines his light. And it is just like the first creation, where God has said, let there be light. Jesus comes as a light, and he's accomplishing the new creation because Jesus shines brightly. The perfect revelation of God is now given. Now, our passage explains that verse in next three verses, and our passage will end there. Let me read that to you. The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body also is full of light. But when it is not clear, when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Then watch out that the light in you is not darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light with no darkness, dark part in it, it will be wholly illumined as when the lamp illumines you with its rays. Now, it's very important we understand that those verses. Because Jesus is the light, and we receive that light. But it says only people who will receive that light is one with clear eye. Because if you have bad eye, You're not going to receive it. The eye is the lamp of your body. It is the lamp of our mind. When our eye is clear, then our whole body also is full of light. But when it is bad, our body also is full of darkness. Thus, but Jesus says that all the people in this world is now divided into two groups. You know, the world divides people into so many groups now. Even in, when it comes to sex, it's not just two anymore. It's like, let me not get into that because it's so stupid. Yes, I said it. It is so stupid. God says He created male and female. Do you see any other category that Bible mentions? Again, we're not here to listen to the world. Bible is the truth. Only two categories. Now, if you show me from the Bible there's a third, fourth, or fifth, or sixth category, then I'll believe it. You know, we come across as a people without love. But see, the world come across to me as a people without love for God. I might be accused of people, a person without love, but I want to have love for my God. I love my God more than anybody else in this world. So my love will first go to God. And if God says there are only two, then that's what I believe. Because I love Him more than anything else. But there are people who love all these other things more than God. Okay, I get it. But if you're a Christian, you're supposed to love God more than anything else. Then you know where you have to stand. It's all about loving. And I don't see the world loving our God at all. Don't worry about world telling you you have no love. As long as God loves you and you love God, you'll be okay. So the whole world is divided into two groups. The children of light and the children of darkness. That's it. Whether you are in Christ or you are outside of Christ. That's it. You know, all these categories that world comes up, they sound so important and they feel like they're telling us we need to pay attention to these categories. But Bible only gives us to either you're believers or you're not. Whether you are in Christ or you're not. In terms of what Jesus said before, either you are with Christ or you're against Christ. That's it. That's the category that we need to take seriously. Are we with Christ or are we against Christ? Any other categories, we don't really care. Of course, we care, but if I have to choose one, I will choose God's categories. Brothers and sisters, let's love God. Let's really love God. And when you do love God, the world will not recognize that as something great. But it really doesn't matter. Because at the end, it's what matters is what God thinks. All right. The children of light and the children of darkness. The clear eye is the eye that receives the light very well. They are the children of light. They have clear eye. They dwell in the light and they shine the light. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You and I, who are true Christians, are the ones with good eye, the clear eye. Verse 34 says, when your eye is clear, the word clear in Greek, that word means single. It's a single eye, meaning single focus. The eye with single mind. James chapter 1 verse 8 says, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. One focus. See, if you have a one focus eye, then you are full of light. Because you are focused on Jesus Christ. And when he shines his light to you, you receive that light very, very well. Now you are full of light. So you shine. Is it this world or is it heaven? See, there is no middle ground. Is it Jesus Christ or is it me? Am I living for Christ or am I living for myself? And you even use Jesus for yourself. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one or despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You know, I always say this, right? Oh, time's really passed. Let me quickly try to end this. You know, you cannot serve both God and wealth. You know, you feel when you read that, you go, wait a minute. Isn't comparison God and wealth? That's not good comparison. Maybe he should have said, you cannot serve both God and Satan. Why does God compares God with wealth? Isn't that interesting, isn't it? I mean, it shouldn't be God and Satan. And yet, God knows where our heart is. You cannot both serve both God and wealth, God says. But that's what we want to do. At least people who go to church, they don't want to say, I want to just serve wealth only, but I want to serve both. You can't. God says you can't. Again, so many people will tell you they are able to do it. But like I said before, I don't care what people say. What does the Bible say? Jesus is warning us. Watch out that the light in you is not darkness. My question to you is, do you believe? Do you obey by faith? Examine yourself, believing and obeying the word of God. We are the ones with clear eye. With that clear eye, we receive the light very well. So we believe the word of God and we obey by faith. And we ourselves have become the light, and now we shine that light through our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. We live as the light that shines Jesus Christ and His Word. Jesus said to us, you are the light of the world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, and you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Thus you and I are with Christ and we gather with Christ. But the people who do not believe in Jesus Christ and His word, they are against Christ and they scatter. And let me end with this. I just want you to see how blessed you are. Because you are the ones who received Christ and His word. You are with Christ and you gather with Christ. And you must understand what our lives are all about. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellence of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Through our passage today, see your heavenly reality that has been already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe and obey. God has given you the clear eye, so your whole body is now full of light. And if your whole body is full of light, with no dark part in it, it will be wholly illumined, our passage says, as when the lamp illumines you with its rays. You now illumine the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you are. Everywhere you walk around, everywhere you live your life, you are illumining the light of Christ. And you need to understand who you are. You need to understand what your life is all about. There's no darkness in you, the Bible says. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Thus we cannot be with the darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for giving us clear eye, so that we will be able to receive the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that because of your grace, we are now full of light. So Father, wherever we go, whatever we do, let us continue to shine. Shine the glory, the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, God. We love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.